Let me hear you say, I want to be a saint. I'm a beloved child of God. That's exactly who we are. And it'll never change. But you know, sin causes us to forget who we are. That's what sin is. It's like a denial of who we are. We reject that God has called us to holiness, to sanctity, to a saintly way of life. Saints are the beloved children of God who are in His presence, giving Him thanks and glory for the gift of His Son, for the gift of Himself, for the gift of the Spirit. And so we have to remind ourselves who we are so that we can avoid sin and temptation with all His empty show and all His empty promises, and believe and trust in God. That's who we are. In the waters of baptism, we became saints. We became beloved children of God. Let me hear you once again. I want to be a saint. I'm a beloved child of God. That's who you are. Why do we forget? Why do we want to be children of darkness and citizens of this world when we're members of the household of God? We're citizens of heaven. And so if we are the saints that we are called to be, and we are the beloved children of God and beloved children of Mary, then all our words, all our thoughts, all our actions and all our deeds need to flow from our true identity as saints and children of God and children of Mary. One of the saints that moves me is Saint Bridget of Sweden. That when we think of the Beatitudes and we think of the commandments and we think of this great image of wanting not to just imitate Christ, but to be a living sacrament, to be Christ to one another, she clearly showed us that, not only in her marriage, not only with her children, not only with the servants, but everyone she came in contact with. She took care of the poor. She took care of the sick. She went and she begged for money in order to give alms. She lived a life of poverty, and she was a beloved bride of Christ. You know, He said to her that her soul was so dear to Him that if He had to be crucified all over again, that He would do it just for her. And she would be in front of a cross, in front of the crucifix, and she would remind Jesus of who He was. You are the beloved Son of God. You came into this world not to crucify it, not to condemn it, but to sanctify it and save it. She would be on the cross reminding Him, remember, dear Lord, your passion. Remember your mercy. Remember your mission to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, to liberate captives, to let those oppressed free. Remember, you came to shed your blood, to bring forgiveness to the world and allow us to enter your divine mercy. But the Lord always reminds us in the saints, that God's grace is available to all. But why do we reject it? Why do we say no to it? Why do we forget who we are? And in a beautiful vision, God gave Bridget of Sweden an opportunity to see what happens when we come before the just judge, to see what happens when we have to bring all of it in front of Him. And so He shows us this court, so to speak, And Bridget is there, she's watching this vision. And it's almost like the court is open and there's a good advocate trying to assist this crusader. But also there's the devil's advocate who's trying to condemn him. And so the good angel is trying to bring about whatever good this individual did throughout. And sure enough, the devil's advocate was reminding God of all his misdeeds. And so we would hear, yes, he went to Mass and he prayed. And the advocate, the devil's advocate would say, yes, but he didn't love you. He didn't do this for you. He did it out of obligation. Well, yes, but he was kind. Yes, he only did that to satisfy himself, to make himself look better, to make himself feel better. And we have this going back and forth. And ultimately, the just judge asks, what say you? What would you say for yourself? And the crusader does this and says this, forgets who he is and forget who he's in front of. And he says, I know that if I would ask you for forgiveness, that if I would ask you for mercy, that you would give it to me, but I wouldn't give you the satisfaction. And then that soul was condemned. And we hear the advocate say, this soul is mine. And that can never change. That decision could never be reversed. But how many times in our own sin, we're saying to God, I won't give you the satisfaction. I know you're merciful. I know you're kind. And because of that, I'll keep sinning and doing whatever I'm going to do. And I'll come to you and I'll ask you to forgive me. But here's the catch, that God is merciful and he is kind. And he wants to forgive you, but you won't let him. Because unless you have true contrition, which the Bible tells us we must have, we must be sorrow for our sins, and we must want to forgive our others and to never want to sin again. Remember Jesus, every time he forgave somebody, he said, go and sin no more. Contrition for us means that we are sorrow for our sins, and then we want amendment of life as well. And the church teaches us these two things are required in order for us to be forgiven. In today's gospel, we don't see either one of those. We don't see the rich man in any way wanting to change his life. We don't see in him any desire to be compassionate, to feel sorrow, even when he's in front of the just judge. Even before that, he never, in his torment, ever says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. He never says to Lazarus, Lazarus, I'm so sorry for ignoring you. I'm sorry for adding to your suffering. I'm sorry that I didn't acknowledge you. I'm sorry that I wasn't compassionate. I'm sorry that I lacked charity and I lacked love. I'm sorry that I didn't look at you and didn't listen to you. I'm sorry that I wasn't a good Samaritan to you. We never hear any of that. And that is what pride does. Pride keeps us from real, true contrition. Pride tells us that we have to use God in the mercy that he wants to provide for us. Pride says, I can do this. I got this. I'm independent, self-reliant. I can do this on my own. I don't need God. Humility is what we see in Lazarus. just meek and humble. He puts all his faith and trust in God. He's dependent on God for all things. And when we look at the definition of a saint, when we look at the definition of a beloved child of God, we see someone who's just not in the image of God, not in the image of the Son, not in the grace of the Holy Spirit, not just an imitator, but someone who truly knows that they're a saint and a child from above. That for us, this image of a saint is one always trusting in God, dependent on God, relying on God for all things, sharing their very lives with God. The beloved child of God also understands to be just like Jesus, to say to the Lord, Lord, not my will, your will be done. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. Sin causes us to forget. Love and forgiveness cause us to remember. So let us not forget that we too are saints. And let us always remember that we're beloved children from God above. God invites us to be saintly. He reminds us to be children. Children who love God with all their mind, heart, body, soul, and strength and spirit, and put all their hope and trust in Him. So I ask you one more time, knowing what that really means, who wants to be a saint and who wants to be a beloved child of God? I do.